Zender with you here at the end of the week, and I'm throwing the Revelation series to the ditch just for today. Don't worry. I'm going to give it a rest here at the end of the week, and I'm going to talk to you about the four aspects of love. My eye's a little purple. I think I pet one of the cats, and I think I touched my eye there, so I didn't want you to worry about me. I looked at my video yesterday. It looked like I had, like, pink eyeshadow on or something. I assure you I've not gone in that direction. So let me see. I have a pair of shades here. I don't have my regular shades. I guess I've been looking for an excuse to spring these on. You check these out. I guess these would be like my Brad Pitt shades. What do you think of those? Yeah, those are pretty heavy duty with a hat. Don't know how you handle it. So the four aspects, not the four, because there are many aspects of love. And I love the subject of love lately because I realize that without love, what do we have? Paul says, we're nothing. So it behooves us all to discover what love is, find out what it is. It's a complex emotion, but it's not based on emotion. Now, my first aspect of love has to do with, it's kind of embarrassing, but not really. I'm going to own this. I'm actually proud of it now that you mention it. Walmart. I love Walmart. It's my favorite store. Now, I know that when I begin to talk to you about Walmart, many of you are going to think I'm talking about you specifically. I am not. Because the reason many people will think that is because there have been many people who have told me that they hate Walmart. They despise Walmart. Like, they go into Walmart and just like, ew, it's Walmart. And we know there are websites out there. One's called thepeopleofwalmart.com or peopleofwalmart.com. Check it out. There are a lot of freaky people at Walmart, I admit that. But I am one of them. I love those people. It's like the island of misfit toys. It's like the bar scene at Star Wars, the cantina. It's a parliament of misfits and freaks, and I fit right into it. And I can't believe I'm at this space. I was there today, and I didn't want to leave. I feel good at Walmart. I feel like I'm back in my mother's womb. It's precious to me. I go into Walmart. Well, I tell you what, it's more spacious than my mother's womb. I cannot believe that this thing the size of an airport has so much stuff in it that people in third world countries would freak out to see the amount of stuff. And then you go to a super Walmart and you got the groceries in with the cosmetics and the drugs. It's absolutely amazing. Anything you want, you can buy at Walmart, and it's at a reasonable price. And the people there, those are my kind of people. They are. I just go in there and I feel at home. It's like, I'm home. It's so unpretentious. They don't, you know, they don't make airs about it. And so this belongs to love. Love does not think more highly of itself than it ought. Love is not, which Paul puts in a nutshell by saying in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 13, love is not puffed up. Love is not puffed up. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons not to go to Walmart if you're puffed up in your own estimation. Because that's the riffraff. I don't want to go there and mingle with the riffraff. But I am a riffer. Some of them are raffers. So I commingle with my people. And I get good deals. I get videos for $5. And I enjoy this. Now, the second aspect of love is these shoes. I've been talking to you about minimalist. Now, you're not going to appreciate this, obviously, just like you can't appreciate my Brad Pitt shades if you're not on the video. If you're watching, listen to this in your car, I'll do what I can to describe this to you. First of all, my shades, Brad Pitt. That's all you need to know. Now, these shoes are minimalist shoes, and you can't appreciate that until a demonstration that I am about to do live on the Revelation series. This in itself is its own revelation. I've been talking about going through life minimally, and I'm working on that. And so along that line and in that spirit, I have bought a pair of minimalist shoes. It frees the feet to do what feet are meant to do. You don't need cushioning. You don't need all that extra padding. It just puts your feet to sleep. They don't know what to do anymore. They're in there going, we can't breathe. We can't do what we're meant to do. And that's what they say. So you either run barefoot, as you know I did in Brazil, or you get a Merrell Vapor Glove 2. This is the Merrell Vapor Glove 2. And watch what this thing does. Are you ready for this? Watch. My God, I'm so excited I got a sneeze coming on. Hang on. Okay, sorry. Excuse me. Again, this is the Merrell Vapor Glove 2. Watch this. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening to me in your car, I am twisting the Merrell Vapor Glove 2. And it is collapsing like a pretzel. It is like a bedroom slipper. Look, this, I dare you to... I can fold it in fourths. Exactly what I did there. I fold it in fourths. Light? Are you kidding me? Light? I wish you could know how light this is. Now we go to the scripture for the third aspect of love. And it is this. Love is not jealous. This is huge. I'm going to write an article about this soon because I am beginning to see that jealousy is one of the most poisonous emotions on the planet Earth. It is also one of the most common emotions. It is a sin that Paul mentions right along with enviousness and covetousness and pride. The difference between envy and jealousy, okay, envy only requires two. You envy someone when you want something that they have. You envy them, or you wish you had the job they had, or the car that they had, or the wife that they have is what I meant to say, not had. You want it. You covet it. It goes along with covetousness. Now, jealousy requires a third party, because jealousy is a fear that you are going to lose something to someone else. And I will be bold and say this. Jealousy killed Christ. Jealousy killed Christ. They could put up with this pseudo-Messiah as they thought he was if he doesn't impinge upon their people, their loyal following. But Jesus Christ was leading thousands away from the temple. He was teaching apostasy from Moses. They didn't really care about the apostasy from Moses. They cared about the apostasy from them. They only cared, the Pharisees, about apostasy from Moses when they were the arbiters of Moses. They're the merchants of Moses. They own the franchise on Moses. So if you apostatize from Moses, he's dead. What do they care? But since they're the barkers and they're the circus tent operators of Moses, then they can't stand it when Jesus takes people away. So there's the third party. They're losing something and have to maintain control of the people. And jealousy is evil because it insists on containment, on ownership. It insists on possession, and it does not love freely with an open hand, because true love wishes the object of its devotion to the of its love to be happy. And if the Pharisees were truly interested in the spiritual welfare of the people and in the well-being of the people, then they would have seen them giddy and happy at Jesus Christ, and they would have said, "Fly away, children. We want you to be happy. We're fulfilled. We'll happily go back to our jobs as carpenters and farmers." But no, they had a power structure. They were insecure about that power. They didn't trust it. And so they needed to keep it no matter what. So they didn't give a crap. The people were just tools to use for their self-worth, for them to feel like they were important. And so when that becomes the thing, you can see why Paul says love is not jealous. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, love is not jealous. Because a love that's jealous is not love at all. Love goes outward toward an object. It's self-motivated. You're not loving that person or those people by wanting to keep them corralled for your own power rush, you see. And so love loves with an open hand. It's like you're in a meadow and you see a beautiful flower and you want to appreciate it and love it. And so you go and you be with that flower in its environment. A selfish love, which isn't love at all, plucks the flower, wants to possess it, keeps it for itself. Nobody else can appreciate this flower, but by plucking it, the flower dies. So jealousy kills love. Paul says it is not love. Love is not jealous. Common human emotion. Paul warns about it many times. God's allowed to be jealous because he's God. He says, I'm a jealous God. He wants us so badly. He doesn't want our affections turned toward false gods. That's fine for him because he's God and it's not tainted. Human jealousy is tainted. And it's never spoken of in a good way, but God actually uses it against the Jews, which is for the Jews. They become jealous at the nations. Paul says in Romans 11, their jealousy, that God is blessing the nations, provokes Israel to jealousy. So God uses this evil human emotion, and he turns it around and uses it for good. But by itself, it's not good. Paul says love is not jealous. Simple as that. The fourth aspect of love here is in verse 5. Love is not taking account of evil. I love this one. This is the tough one. I mean, jealousy is tough, but this one's really tough. Love is not taking account of evil. I had someone say to me once, how can you just waltz in here like nothing is wrong? How can you just waltz in here like nothing is wrong? Now, of course, when you're in an altercation of any kind, everybody thinks that the other person is the one who did the evil. So if I consider that I had an evil done to me, and I walk into a place and act like nothing is wrong, in my mind, I'm letting the evil go, and I'm starting from an even keel. I'm learning to do this. I'm getting better at this. Not because I'm trying, really, just because God puts me in circumstances where I have to do it. Thanks, God. Appreciate that. Thanks for developing my character. So you're in a situation where you could just let an evil simmer like soup, and it can fester. And this evil gets to a point where you just don't want to see another person anymore. What if you could be the Teflon kid? What if you could just let that evil just slide off you? Love does not take account of evil. That's true love. And can go in a room and waltz in there like nothing is happening. And some people can't stand that. Of course, they think that you're the one that did them wrong, so they think that you owe them an apology. And that happens sometimes. I love to apologize to people. I love it. But people have to show me where I'm wrong. Show me in the scriptures or tell me what I did, and I'll apologize for it. But for some people, that's not enough. They need more. It's like, okay, I'm sorry for that. And they say, okay, thanks. But then they continue to passively, aggressively punish you for that thing you did. So the next time you waltz into the room, you think everything's fine. Da-da-da. Hey, how's everybody doing? What's happening, man? How can you just waltz in here after what you did? But I already apologized. That doesn't matter. You still don't feel bad about it? No, I don't. I don't. Because I've not only forgiven myself, but I'm justified by God. I apologized to you, so what's the problem? To me, the table is cleared at that point. And now everybody can go on their merry way because love is not taking account of evil. Okay, well, we have imperfect human love. So let's say it does take account of evil, but then things are remedied, people talk, everybody's happy again. Why do you have to keep paying the dues? It's like you go to the library to pay your fee, and the librarian says, your book's 3 days overdue, you owe us 6 cents. And you pay your debt to society, you give the library 6 cents, and then you come in the next day and they give you the evil eye. Why are you giving me the evil eye? You brought that book back 3 days late. But I paid my debt to society, you got your 6 cents, here's the receipt. Well, because that's not love, because they're taking account of evil. Another way to say it is holding a grudge. Some people's grudges have easy grip handles, ergonomic handles for the grudges so you can carry them around everywhere. Some people have grudge backpacks where you just sling them on, they're comfortable, and you hardly know it's there. You hardly know it's there, but they got this heaviness on them, and they're under a cloud. Because they're constantly holding grudges and you have not paid your penance. You have not paid your penance, even though you said you're sorry, whatever. Whatever. So I exhort all of you out there, try to get along with one another. And love is not jealous. I want you to promote the happiness of another person, even if it costs you. Even if it costs you. And you want another person to be happy. And that doesn't eliminate love. It engenders love. Love flowers in an environment. Love loves the absence of jealousy, because then there is trust. There is mutual trust and mutual desire for the other to be happy. And I want you to let those grudges just fall off of you. Cut all the handles off your grudge suitcases. And I also want you to go to Walmart, sometime soon, even if you despise it. I want you to look at all the people there and think that God loves all these people, even the ones that weigh 600 pounds and have their, you know, their ass cheeks hanging out of their pants, and they're just terrible. What they were, pink Crocs. I know, you know, I have a terrible thing against pink Crocs or any colored Crocs, but especially pink. I hate them. But this is a great opportunity to show grace and to show that you are one of the people and that you're down with the struggle. This has been Martin Zender. I hope you have a good weekend, and by the grace of God, I will be back here